o'clock, Rogers in the 25th Century. And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box. Buck Rogers, who was held in suspended animation for 500 years and is now adventuring in the amazing world of the 25th century. By turning a little dial to project us ahead in time, we're able to be right with Buck and his friends in the wonderful world of the future, a world that sees a lot of our scientific and mechanical dreams come true. You know, there's nothing supernatural or mystic about Buck. He's just an ordinary, normal human being who keeps his wits about him. But he certainly manages to get into one thrilling adventure after another. Right now, he and Wilma and Dr. Hewer are getting ready to start on an expedition toward the center of the Earth in a huge machine called the Mechanical Mole. They're standing beside it on the landing field of the great municipal spaceport in Niagara, capital of 25th century America. Let's join them. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
What's holding us up, Dr. Hewer? I thought we were going to get started on our trip underground just as soon as we got out here.
Sergeant Carlborg is bringing some weapons and scientific equipment over from the main rocket ship hangar.
Weapons?
Yes, Doctor. What possible use for weapons can we have deep under the earth?
Well, you never can tell. We've got to be prepared for everything. Carlborg is also bringing instruments that will enable us to analyze whatever sort of ground we run into down there. Also, gas analyzer.
What's that for?
I should be at all surprised if we'd run into some great open spaces miles below. Gas or air pockets.
Gas pockets, anyway. Sources for the natural gas we use here on the surface.
Exactly.
I see. But now explain this machine to me, will you? All I can tell from seeing it here is that it looks like a huge metal sausage.
Well, it's made of flexo-impervium, Wilma. The toughest flexible metal known.
But how does it work? How does it dig its way into the ground?
It melts its way down, Wilma, with the help of a thermic radiation projector. The heat from it will liquefy anything in its power. Rock, stones, gravel, almost instantaneously.
Some heat?
Yes. The banks of non-recoil energy projectors that are spaced all around the outside of the hull will push the mold forward through the melted ground.
Will we be able to see anything through the big metalloglass windows there in front?
Oh, yes, indeed.
And are they really thick enough?
Well, there won't be much strain on them, Wilma, because the force rays will keep pushing the melted dirt away from them all the time.
Oh. Well, now how about getting into the control cabin so I can see how to operate it?
All right. Notice that this metal door arrangement is rather complicated in order to permit entrance through three separate hulls. Here now. There.
Why three hulls, Doctor?
For protection against the extreme temperatures we may encounter.
Right. Doctor, didn't you say that the temperature will increase about 1 degree for every 53 feet we go down?
Yes, that's the generally accepted figure.
Uh-huh.
One of the many things we'll be able to check on.
There isn't much room in this control cabin. Seems to me that in a machine 50 or 60 feet long...
Power units for the non-recoil energy projectors and thermic radiation projectors.
Huh?
Complete air conditioning and pressure equalizing systems. Storage cabinets for all the scientific equipment. They all take a lot of room, Wilma.
Oh, sure. But now, why these straps on the control seat?
To enable us to stay in them regardless of the angle at which we're ascending or descending.
And precious use. What do we ever use these for?
Exploring any open spaces there may be down below.
Note the instrument panel here, Wilma.
Uh-huh.
Pressure gauge, depth gauge, temperature,
Dr. side... Dr. Hewer! Dr.
Yes?
Got the other equipment, Carlborg?
Yes, sir. Right here, sir.
Oh, good.
Listen.
What's the matter?
A spy. My men just caught a spy over there by the main hangar.
Hmm? What's this?
He has a telemagnetic recorder.
You mean one of those cameras for recording pictures on a sensitized wire?
Yes, sir.
Well, who is he? What's he look like?
Well, he looks just like a perfectly respectable Martian tourist, Captain.
A Martian?
But he wouldn't say why he was so anxious to take pictures, so I had the boys hold on to him.
Why, that old rascal Black Barney.
Barney? What's he got to do with it?
Oh, did you tell about that, Bud?
No, I guess it slipped my mind.
Well, then tell me now.
Well, Dr. Huer first got to thinking about this mechanical mole up on Jupiter, where Barney helped us capture Cain and Ardalis.
Yeah?
And he told Barney about his plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know Black Barney.
Sure. He decided he'd have to build one, too.
Right. Told Dr. Huer that the minute he got back to Mars, he'd begin construction of it. Provided Dr. Huer would tell him how to get started with it.
No, I just joshed a little, Wilbur. I told him that if he wanted to know how I was going to build the mole, he'd have to find out for himself. And that I'd do everything possible to keep him from finding out.
And then he sent the man with the camera.
Sure, and he isn't the first spy who's been around.
Well, I wonder if Barney's making any progress with his mechanical mole.
Well, apparently, yes. Our president attended a meeting of the Council on Interplanetary Affairs there on Mars not long ago, and Barney said he was not only building the biggest and most powerful mole in the universe, but that he'd have it in operation before we'd finish with this.
Good old Barney. Leave it to him.
Yes.
Well, then, I guess this spy ain't as serious as I thought.
Look, I'll tell you what you do, Corporal.
Yes, Captain.
Do you still have that little dog of yours, the one you call Tagalong?
I sure do, Captain. Why, he's the finest mixed breed thoroughbred.
Well, where is this Martian camera?
Why, right in my office at the main rocket ship hangar.
Well, then, you get hold of your dog and expose the whole reel of sensitized wire in the camera on Tagalong digging holes in the ground.
You mean it, sir?
Yep. Then send the man and his camera back to Mars.
Okay, Captain, whatever you say.
If Barney wants pictures of a mechanical mole, we'll see that he gets them.
That's terrific.
Well, now let's close this metal door. These metal doors and get underway.
All right. Sergeant, we'll be in touch with you by radio from time to time. And please radio the president's office that we've started.
Yes, sir, Doctor. And be careful way down there, will you, please?
Careful?
Yes, sir. You folks are starting out on this contraption just as calm as if you were flying a rocket ship out into space.
Well,
but I'd be sort of scared.
Well, what's there to be scared about, Carlborg?
I don't know, but be careful anyways, will you, please?
Yes, we will. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Carlborg.
Bye, Carlborg. Now, travel on the surface, of course, we just use the power of the non-record energy projector, like this.
Say, we're moving right along.
Yes, sir, there's plenty of power in this thing.
Well, we'll need it when we start going down into the ground. Suppose I turn on the thermic radiation projector and head us down at about a 20-degree angle.
Okay by me.
Me too.
Well, then here we go.
Boy, that heat ray really does a job.
Just say so.
Turns the ground into a boiling liquid.
I bet the heat from it can be felt for hundreds of feet around.
What?
I bet the heat from it can be felt for hundreds of feet around.
What did you say?
I said it's hot out there.
Lady, you certainly have a powerful pair. Hey. Wait, Doctor.
I just cut off the power box. And you see this gauge? We're down over 100 feet.
What's that noise?
Sounds like steam blowing off. Something wrong in the power compartment?
No, Wilma. We've run into a stratum of water sand, that's all.
No.
The heat rays turn the water into steam.
Hmm. No telling what we may run into down here, is there?
No.
It's really kind of risky, isn't it?
Rather go back and let Dr. Huer and me finish the trip?
Not on your life.
Well, here we go again. Now, somewhere down here, according to soundings taken on the surface...
Yeah?
There's a deep... Look. Look through the metalloglass window.
Yes, Doctor?
The color of the melted stuff out there indicates we're in right in the middle of it now.
In the middle of what, sir?
A deep layer of solid granite.
We're going through solid granite.
That's right, Wilma. And with no effort at all.
No, sir, Doctor.
What?
According to this gauge here, we're stopped.
Stop?
Yes, sir. We haven't moved for the last 10 or 15 seconds.
Now, wait a minute.
Don't you see, Doctor?
Oh, you're right, Buck. We didn't move an inch.
Then back us out, Doctor. Back us up to the surface again.
I can't, Wilma. This machine can't move backwards.
What?
But I don't understand why a little granite should hold us this way.
When we turned off the heat ray, Doctor, it solidified around our hull.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Well, can we get free again?
Give that heat ray all she'll take, Doctor.
Yes.
More heat. We haven't begun to move yet.
There now. Not full.
Direct the heat back alongside our hull.
Yes, Doc. There now. There we are. Now we're moving again.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
You see, it was necessary to melt down all the granite that had solidified around our hull.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen again. I don't mind telling you I was worried for a minute then.
Well, we're moving along now, all right. Really making time.
Yes. I doubt, Wilma, if we'll run into any strata as hard as that again.
I hope not. How far down are we now?
Must be several hundred feet, Wilma.
Sure, because we're certainly traveling. Ground down here must be sort of loosely put together.
Perhaps we're in an air pocket of some sort. The depth gauge...
Hey, look.
Yes?
The heat ray usually shows red out there. Now there are a lot of little bluish puffs of flame.
Mr. Buck's right. They shoot out like long blue ribbons. Air pocket, did you say?
Oh, sir, we're running into a gas pocket.
Gas?
Why, yes.
But what if it all catches fire?
Yes, sir, if there's oxygen present down here...
The heat ray will be like a match inside a big gas tank.
You're right.
Look, blue flames all around us.
The gas pocket's going to explode.
Good heavens.
Look.
Here it comes. Say, that sounds pretty bad. Heat from the thermic radiation projectors made that gas pocket they ran into explode. They're deep, deep underground, beyond the reach of help. But now stand by for a few words from your favorite announcer, and then we'll rejoin Buck and his friend. Now let's get back to the world of the future. When Buck, Wilma, and Dr. Huer started on their expedition underground in the mechanical mole, Sergeant Carborg, following orders and having no idea what might happen down there, went back to the main rocket ship hangar to contact the president's office by radio. It's there that we find him now as we turn the dial that'll project us ahead in time. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Central Radio Bureau. Sergeant Carborg calling Central Radio Bureau.
Central Radio Bureau, Stratton speaking.
Well, listen, Stratton. I've got to get an important message through to the office of the president.
Yes?
Captain Rogers and Lieutenant Wilmer and Dr. Huer have just took off on their expedition under the ground in the mechanical mole. Ain't that something?
Yes, it certainly is. Did it sort of sudden, didn't they?
Well, they didn't want a lot of people around who might have gotten burned by the big heat ray in the nose of that machine.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll get that message.
And you know, they took off in that big machine just as calm and collected as if it was nothing at all.
Well, that's the way those folks are. I better get that message.
Oh!
Hey, what was that?
I don't know. It knocked me right off my chair under the floor. Some incoming rocket ship must have banged into the side of this hangar.
What? Oh, there it goes again.
I'll go out and see what it is. I'll call you back and tell you...
No, wait a minute.
But maybe a ship was cracked up out there.
Well, if that's all it was, why should I feel it over here? I'm miles away from that spaceport of yours.
You mean you felt it too?
Well, like an earthquake. This whole building shook.
No. Listen. Stratton.
Yeah? Now, what's the matter? Municipal spaceport calling municipal spaceport. Carborg!
Municipal spaceport. Yeah, Carborg.
Central Scientific Bureau speaking. Our seismographs have just registered a tremendous subterranean explosion.
I knew it.
Approximately 2 miles under the surface of your main landing field. Hello?
Captain Rogers.
Hello?
Calling Captain Rogers from the mechanical mole.
Hello, Carborg.
Captain Rogers.
Carborg.
Dr. Hewer.
Hello, Scientific Bureau. Hello.
Rogers.
This is Stratton, the Center Radio Group. Yes? Dr. Hewer's mechanical mole is down there. What? The mechanical mole? Something must have happened to it. Good heavens. Is there any way of contacting it down there? Is it radio equipped? Oh, Carlberg's trying to get them now. Can you hear him? Carlberg. Sergeant Carlberg.
Doctor, can you see what's happened? It's down there under the ground, and the mechanical mole is thrown up with them inside of it.
Carlberg, did they take a straight course down into the ground?
I don't know what they did. It's too late to save them now. They killed. This is horrible. This is horrible. I shouldn't have ever let them go down there. An awful machine. It's a death machine. That's what it is.
There's only one way to reach that mechanical mole or what's left of it. A long-range disintegrator. Disintegrator? Yes, by blasting away a long shaft straight into the ground. But the sides of a shaft that deep will cave in. Call out the rocket fleet emergency squad. Have them circle the area we're going to disintegrate in order to hold back the sides of it with long-range non-recoil energy projectors. Okay. I'll take care of notifying the president's office of what's happened from here. Yes, sir. Now go to it. No. Wait. Yes? Order an interplanetary transport ship made ready. Equipped with the most powerful gravity ray available. To pull them all up to the surface when you got a shaft down to it, eh? That's right. Now, get going. All right, sir. Carlborg.
Yes, yes.
Sergeant Carlborg. Have your ground crew erect standard framework number 3X5 directly above the spot where the mechanical mole descended immediately.
Oh, what's the use of that? That's a disintegrator framework.
The only possible chance we have of reaching the people trapped in that machine down there is by disintegrating our way down to them.
It's too late.
What?
It exploded within minutes. It's too late.
Do as I tell you. The sooner we can get that giant disintegrator going, the better our chance of saving them.
Saving them? It's too late. I tell you, they're lost. They're lost down there. It's too late. Turn that disintegrator off.
Cut the disintegrator.